Shalom. This is Billy Brim coming to you with the voice of one witness from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri. Kinda near. We're actually out in the boonies. And I'm so loving doing this almost live, speaking to you. I have so many things on my heart, and I'm meeting here with our radio man, Randy Laughlin, and trying to come to you just quickly with the things that God's showing me, and he's showing me and speaking to me about. We've got to have the glory of God manifest in our churches, and I know I'm not the only one, but in our church, we have to have the revelation of God. Let me read you this book, this from T. Austin Sparks. I was reading it preparing for our upcoming eschatology meeting on the book of Ephesians in the glorious church and our school, and I was reading this, and he said, "What is the church?" Now, you can get T. Austin Sparks. You can just go online and get some of his books. He lived in 1888 through 1971, a great teacher of the word, from England and Scotland. "What is the church?" he says. "It is the place in which God is revealed. The church is the embodiment of the revelation of God in Christ." Folks, if people are, how many times have you heard someone said, "You may be the only Bible people read"? Folks, we're supposed to, individually, and in our meetings, reveal God. T. Austin Sparks writes from his book, The City Which Hath Foundations. "The church is the place in which there abides the living unveiling of God. And just as soon as something claiming to be the church ceases to be the place in which there is any living unveiling of God, it ceases to be what God calls the church. And when it fails in these divine features, God withdraws. It may go on, but God withdraws. It is a grand thing to belong to that church and to know that church where there is a continuous unveiling of God, where the God of glory is appearing. Do we know what it is to be where God is showing himself, making himself known, where constantly again and again the God of glory is appearing? Are you able to say that from week to week in the local assembly to which you belong, that the God of glory is appearing?" Well, these witnesses from Azusa Street were able to say it, and they told their stories in 1960 to a man named Tommy Welchel. For 6 years, he, as a young man, literally sat at their feet. They were the saints of Azusa Street, who were children during the time, young people during the time of Azusa Street. They told him their stories, and he has printed them in a book, which I'm reading to you, and which you can listen at the end of the program, how to receive this book. Now, we're at the story of Brother Riggs, who was the founder of the Assemblies of God. Brother Riggs' mother lived at Pisgah, the place where he met so many of these saints. And Brother Riggs would come by, and Tommy would listen to their stories, his stories. Brother Riggs also told, I'm reading now from page 65, they told me their stories. Brother Riggs also told of his one and only mass healing. A group of people came from a retirement home and had minor problems like aching joints. Riggs decided he would try a Seymour and have a mass healing. You know, Brother Seymour was the one-eyed black preacher that God used at Azusa Street, so he was going to try to emulate Seymour. He looked at them and said, quote, "Every one of you are going to be healed in the name of Jesus. Now all of you be healed." Unlike every other time he tried to mimic Seymour, when it never worked, this time Riggs witnessed a mass healing as the joints cracked and healed. Although God used Brother Riggs in countless miracles, he chose to share only one last story. Two people, a husband and wife, came down in wheelchairs pushed by their teenage children. They were both very sick and had either pneumonia or really bad colds. Brother Ralph went over to them and asked, now remember Ralph is somewhere between 12 and 15. Brother Ralph went over to them and asked, "Did you come down here tonight believing God is actually going to heal you?" The husband said yes. Riggs began to pray for them, but he stopped suddenly as he remembered the Carney rule. He said to himself, "Sister Carney won't let me do that," and put up the footrest before finishing his prayer, thus making it easier for the people to get out of the chairs when they're healed. The stage was now set for God to work a miracle. Riggs got between the couple, placed his hands on their forehead, and prayed, commanding them to be healed in the name of Jesus. They both had had terrible fevers, and the first thing Riggs noticed was that their temperatures had gone down. Within moments, the woman began to shake, and shortly she was up and running. The man just stood up, raised his hand, and screamed in a very loud voice, "Thank you, God! Thank you, God!" God had healed them instantly. Most of the time, the Shekinah glory was spoken of with reverence. But there was one time that Brother Riggs shared, revealing a lighter side. He told me that when Seymour would get down there, come down from the upper part of Azusa, I'm adding this, down into the meeting room at the bottom, he lived upstairs. When Seymour would get down, the Shekinah glory would get so thick that you could hardly see the ground. With a smile, he confessed that there were times when it was so thick that he and Ward would get in the back of the room and play hide-and-go-seek in the mist. Since they were just young teenagers when at Azusa, I asked him if he ever tried to put Seymour's box on his head. He said with great reverence, "Nobody touched Seymour's box. Even when he wasn't down there, it was sacred." I asked him to seriously talk to me about the Shekinah glory. Brother Riggs explained the experience much like his mother. Quote, "I tasted a bit of heaven. Ward and I would talk and share that Azusa must have been what heaven is like. God must have sent some part of heaven down here." Folks, this is Billy Brim speaking. That's what he did with the church. That's what he did with Jesus. He sent some part of heaven here. And he sent the church to be some part of heaven. And now we must manifest. God must manifest in us. Back to the reading. Mother Riggs and her son were a joy to talk to and to learn even more about the Azusa Revival. I met Ralph Riggs when he was in his 70s, after God had used him mightily to advance his kingdom. After talking with Brother Riggs, my mind would wander back to his days at Azusa. I could see him running around full of life as he and other teenagers and young people were involved in the awesome outpouring of God. Instead of waiting until he was older to begin his ministry, by the time he reached adulthood, he had already been used of God in a way that most adults, especially in their twilight years, only dream about. Next chapter, the Topeka Connection. Here we'll have the witness of Mr. and Mrs. Lankford, ages 20 and 18. 3 years before the Azusa Revival, there was Topeka, Kansas. In 1901, Dr. Charles Parham had started a Bible school in Topeka, where he actually, I think it might have been 1899, where he taught about the baptism with the Holy Spirit. In 1903, a young man of 17, Brother Lankford, was led of God to leave Highland Park, California, and travel to Topeka to learn about this new teaching. Under Parham's witness, he received the baptism and gift himself. Little did Lankford understand the significance of his venture to Kansas. He returned to California in 1904 and introduced this new teaching to Dr. Yoakum, the founder of Pisgah. Dr. Yoakum, after receiving the baptism and gift of tongues, in turn taught others at Pisgah about this exciting experience. You will recall that it was because of Brother Lankford and Dr. Yoakum that Sister Carney received the baptism and speaking with tongues in 1904, 2 years prior to Azusa. Azusa was not an afterthought of God. This great visitation of God was ordained long before the actual experience took place. The prayers offered the previous several years, that focused on seeking revival were but the final stage of this God-ordained experience. Even before the first prayer was offered, God was preparing many people to participate in this magnificent outpouring of His Spirit. One such saint was Brother Lankford, who had a hunger to know all that he could about yielding himself to God. This desire led him to Topeka, then back to California, and eventually to Azusa Street, where he would be used of God in mighty ways. According to Mrs. Lankford, he was personally involved in over 100 miracles and healings. I had the privilege of getting to know Brother Lankford and his wife during my time at Pisgah. He was a few inches taller than 6 feet. She stood about 5'10". Unlike my other visits, when I came to their home, I wasn't greeted with cookies and milk. Brother Lankford had discovered my weakness for strawberry ice cream, which was also his favorite. So I sat at their feet and enjoyed ice cream while listening to their stories. The Lankfords were all about being used by God to bring about miracles and healings. What are we all about, church? That's Billy Brim talking. When we talked, the entire evening was one story after another about the miraculous works of God at Azusa. I would often begin by asking the Lankfords to tell me their most interesting miracles. Once the question left my lips, there was no turning back. Brother Lankford would begin, and Mrs. Lankford would add her memories to those of her husband. "I witnessed a man's fingers actually grow back," she said. That statement would grasp my attention as I begged for more. Lankford told me about a man who had gotten two fingers caught several weeks earlier in some type of machine, and before he knew it, the machine had ripped off two of his fingers. The man had heard that astonishing miracles happened at the Azusa warehouse, so he came with the expectation of getting healed. Brother Lankford shocked the man by asking, "Can we see what God will do?" The man replied, "What do you mean? Let's ask God to grow them out." Lankford was very bold and outspoken. With the man's approval, Lankford grabbed the man's hand and instructed him to put it up in the air. Holding the man's hand up high and with Sister Lankford holding his arm, Lankford began to pray. As soon as the man's fingers began to grow out, Sister Lankford fainted from the sight of such a miracle. As Brother Lankford held firmly to the man's hand, they watched the miracle happen before their very eyes. Lankford started taking the man around, shouting that his fingers had just grown out. You could hear Lankford cry out, These weren't here before. Look, God grew out these fingers. The man stood next to Lankford in shock, with his mouth open in amazement. Before the miracle was over, even the man's fingernails grew out, as the man was made perfectly whole. Folks, I'm reading you these things because I want to make you hungry. I read from that T. Austin Sparks book that we should be having and I know it from the Bible. The church is where God should be appearing. Why did people come to Azusa, where they heard about the baptism with the Holy Spirit and speaking with tongues? Because they heard about the miracles and they heard about the healing. I'm reading you this book to whet your appetite, to call out to God for these things, to adjust your life for these things. We're making the book available to you. You can get the book I'm reading, They Told Me Their Stories, as told by Brother Tommy Welchel, for $10. It usually sells for $13. We are also offering the new book by Kenneth E. Hagin entitled Tongues, a big book which is filled with information you need about this manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It normally sells for $15. We're making it available to you for $10. You can get both of them for $20. Just telephone us at 1-800-972-3447. And please come and be with us in the School of Eschatology, March 17th through 20th, in the beautiful resort city of Osage Beach, Missouri, at Dr. Larry and Loretta Ollison's church. Call us to register, 1-800-972-3447. It's free. We just need to know you're coming. 1-800-972-3447. Shalom. This is Billy Brim.